from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Right now, it's time for the C Block starring Corey Majors.
Thank you very much, Kevin. I really do appreciate that. I did want to get to this first, and I don't know how much of our time this is going to consume because I would like to tell the Lakers politely to F off and stay away.
Yeah, oh, my goodness.
I don't mind what you're saying here. They're the team I hate the most in all of sports.
Let's go to cut nine here, Alec. It is Kevin O'Connor. And this was something I wanted to get to yesterday, Kevin, but the CeeDee Lamb news broke.
Yes, that's right.
During our break before C Block, so I didn't get to have this conversation. I'm glad Mike's here so we can dive in after this. But this is Kevin O'Connor on the Lakers eyeing one Luka Doncic for their future.
I've reported on this podcast and on The Ringer how they have their sights set for Luka in the future. We'll see if that works out. Dallas just made a finals. Dallas is looking better than ever with their supporting cast. That may not work out. But the Lakers, by not trading their future picks, clearly they're still thinking long term at this point. They're not going all in like you might expect many teams to do with LeBron James.
So, again, I would like to tell them politely to F off and just stay away from our Luka because, look, man, I think Luka, maybe he plays like 5 more years and then says, I'm done, I'm retiring because my body just, I don't want this. I don't know if you've seen the videos today. He's enjoying the farm life. And he looks healthy, by the way. Whoa. The videos, he looks pretty good.
Is he back home?
Yeah, in Sylvania, he's on the farm hanging out. So maybe that's his future. But Kyrie, Clay, and Spencer Dinwiddie all chose the Mavericks over the Lakers.
It took Dinwiddie a second. It
took him a second. Yeah. And he chose the Lakers first and then chose us again. But it's still, hey, we got it. But I don't like that the Lakers have pretty much, and Mike said this, gotten whatever they've wanted their entire existence.
Did they draft Wilt Chamberlain?
Nope.
They draft Shaquille O'Neal?
Nope. Mm-hmm.
I guess
Jabbar.
Jabbar. Kobe manufactured his draft pick there. And Jerry West was smart enough to figure this out, to keep the high school kid away and make sure that he could maneuver. And Kobe was like, yeah, I'll make sure to tell all the other teams, screw off. I ain't playing for anybody.
Yeah, and then they get LeBron and it's just, and Anthony Davis, they make trades for him. Yeah. You know, it's frustrating. And I'm going to enjoy Luka while he is a Maverick. Every bit of it because he's a blast to watch. He's awesome. But
I can still tell them F off.
Absolutely. So let's go ahead and throw that out there and just good luck, Lakers.
Is there, because I know in the past you've talked about a way to annoy so-and-so fan base. Is there something that you think we should mobilize on or do to annoy the Lakers or keep them away from
Luka? I guess we could just keep posting, did the Lakers get swept? on the internet, we could just keep doing that. I don't really know exactly what our plan would be to keep them away from Luka. Maybe we build a wall around Luka.
By the way, in case you're curious what that's in reference to, go to didthelakersgetswept.com, which was registered since, I believe, the 2011 playoff series against the Mavericks. Just whenever you get a chance, didithelakersgetswept.com. And enjoy.
For me, Mike, no unless Luka just demanded it.
Right.
No amount of picks would be enough to replace the player for me. Yeah. That's just me.
I mean, the NBA works in a way that these guys just say, I'm not just not playing for you anymore. And there's nothing the organization can do except send them to the team they want to go to for the most part. The thing is, I get the Lakers history. We just went over the history. They never draft well. They just get the best players in the world to sign with them or get traded in a sign and trade situation. So maybe that will be Luka's path 3 to 5 to 6 years from now. But it seems like a weird path right now because they're not good at basketball. And LeBron will be retired. By the time Luka makes the decision, I don't want to be in Dallas anymore. LeBron is unbelievable still, but he won't be playing anymore. It won't be like I'm going to join LeBron in 2028 or 2030. Maybe he will be around, but
God help us all if that's still going.
From the 214, don't Laker my Luka is what they're saying. Yes. And then from the 972, and I'm eyeing Casey Musgraves. Guess what? Ain't no chance in hell. So there you go.
Okay.
So
I would not have gotten that reference without it being spelled out.
Go
for
check
me.
Out her her Christmas special on Amazon Prime next year, right, or this year around Christmas time. It's always one of my favorites.
Okay,
it's nice and fun. All right,
I thought she was a band until you just
she's
said
a singer.
Okay, it's not the Casey Musgraves band. It's just Casey Musgraves.
Casey Donahue, you're thinking of
that? Is different.
It's just her, but it's her Christmas special. Okay. Lots of fun guests.
Okay,
so there you go.
How's that girl doing who sung the national anthem before the home run derby?
The girl who went into rehab?
You think she did?
I mean she said she was going
to.
Yeah,
that's what she said. I don't know.
Not really sure. You know what? From the 3-2-1, if we're going to build a wall around Luka, we should all pay for the wall, is what I suggest.
This feels like dangerous here.
Kevin, Faison Brandon, a 5-star quarterback, and the number one ranked prospect in the class of 2026.
Okay.
Is suing the North Carolina State Board of Education over its ban of endorsement deals for student athletes of public high schools.
That makes a lot of sense, actually.
His mom is joining him in this lawsuit. I believe that she has to.
Yeah. Oh, I bet she is joining him in this lawsuit.
In the full complaint, it was written that back in April, Brandon was approached by a prominent national trading card company.
Okay.
I don't know what a prominent national trading card company would be.
It seems like either Topps or Panini.
He was presented with an opportunity to provide a certain volume of signed memorabilia prior to his high school graduation.
Maybe a leaf.
In exchange, NIL sponsor one would pay Brandon a substantial sum of money with payments structured over time.
Okay.
The agreement would provide him and his family with financial security for years to come. And now, because there is a band in North Carolina, and they're saying, look, you can't at high school level get NIL money, the complaint suggests that potentially millions of dollars that Brandon has no guarantee of ever recouping is gone. And he said, I feel like this is important because we're able to benefit off what we worked on. This will help other kids, not just myself, down the road.
Sure.
Get into a financially secure situation and be better off. I don't know how the state can battle this and say it's like, because I think I saw 32 other states or 31 other states already allow it.
Yes.
So because so many other states already allow, 38 states and the District of Columbia already allow it. So their respective athletics governing bodies permit high school athletes to engage in NIL activities.
Can I ask you guys a question about this? All right. So let's say he wins this suit and all the high school players are eligible for NIL money. Do you think that has any impact for the high level players in terms of college? Like, would they possibly go for not the most money school versus I think this could be the best for my career going forward?
Because they got money in high school?
Yeah.
I think the opposite.
Oh.
They're going to want more money when they get to college?
Yeah, I think this is, I'm not saying what the kid's doing is right or wrong or the parent, but I think that we're getting into really the WH word kind of, blanking out, like
whoring.
Gotcha.
This situation, and I understand. I want to make sure for my son is good at baseball. I don't know if he's going to be a Division One like freshman. You know, I don't know. Like it might be one of those things where, in a way, for baseball, you might need to go to junior college. But I didn't know there's this much money in college baseball until recently. When I'm like, oh my gosh, there's this much money in college baseball, and I will say, Jake, I'm not telling you that me and my wife or me and his mom, I'll say, have tons of money, but I don't want him to choose. I'm just going to throw out two schools, Arkansas and Oklahoma State. I don't want him to choose Arkansas because they're giving him $10,000 more a year, his freshman year, to go there. I want to, hey, what school do you like more? What coach do you like more? But I understand a lot of parents will say, no, they're going to give us $10,000 more this year. You need to up yours by $15K if you want us to go there. And I just think that's where it's going. I think it's going to be the opposite. I think too many people are going to, you know, bad word themselves out in this situation. And to your point, I just don't know if that's going to be best for the kid overall. Because I want kids to somewhat get paid in college. I understand, especially football makes zillions of dollars. But are we setting up these kids ultimately for success? Because when they do graduate college, they're back to $0.
This is interesting. And somebody texted in, I went to confirm it on the Charlotte Observer. In North Carolina, private school stars can take NIL money. Public school stars cannot.
It's kind of UIL versus TAPS type of deal.
And that seems like a haves and haves not situation.
That's why the kid here left South Lake Carroll, right?
Quinn Ewers?
Yeah, he had an NIL deal, and they were like, you can't do it in the state of Texas. So he's like, well, then I'm done.
Hey, look, let's face it. TAPS has been able to circumvent those rules for a while with, hey, I can magically afford this tuition for free now. And like, so that's been in place, I feel like, for a little bit.
Yeah. All right. So that's the story. I think we're going to keep following that one. I think we're going to keep an eye on that one because I would like to see how that is ruled. Now, I did see this from the New York Post, Kevin. Benevolent sexism refers to a belief that women are vulnerable and need protection of men.
Oh.
Which can understandably be misconstrued as simply being polite. However, this seemingly protective and fatherly view of manhood is founded on the same male chauvinistic principle.
Oh my God.
Essentially that men are superior to women as quote unquote hostile sexism and open expression of contempt for women.
When they say protection, are they saying like physical protection?
Just being like being nice.
So if you like offered to walk someone to their car because maybe you don't live in the best neighborhood, could that be viewed as sexism?
Sexism.
Even according though you're to that, just like, I don't want you to get hurt?
Let me read on a little more here, Kevin.
Thank you.
Adding to the list of red flags, a new report published in the Journal of Sex Research. I didn't know there was a Journal of Sex Research. Explored whether sexist attitudes were a reliable predictor of infidelity, as well as the likelihood that benevolent versus hostile sexist men were to cheat, as opposed to those with no sexist values in their direction. The first test involved 379 heterosexual men from the U.S. who answered questions to assess their level of sexist values, as well as their likelihood of cheating, including whether or not they'd cheated and all that stuff. A follow-up trial involved another 544 straight American men to confirm the preceding results. The survey confirmed both hostile and benevolent sexist attitudes as significant indicators of infidelity. And the more sexist the men were, the more likely they were to have considered or committed cheating on their partner. So if you're nice to women...
That is confusing a little
sexist.
Bit. Also, sometimes I think the definition of sexism, I guess in this example, doesn't make a lot of sense to me. Like if you're nice to someone, they're like, well, that's because you think they're weaker and you're sexist.
Yeah, you know? Sometimes you're just nice because they don't understand and you have to explain things to them. You have to tell them how things are done because they don't understand
Isn't that mansplaining? Isn't that what you're saying?
I don't know what you're talking about, Kevin.
No.
Sometimes you just have to, people don't know things and you have to teach them is what I'm saying.
Oh my goodness.
Like my kids, they don't know things sometimes, Kevin. And I just try to show them.
Can you get a hold of these surveys? I would like you to take them.
Take one of these sexist surveys.
How that plays out.
My likelihood of cheating, very low. I'll just put it to you that way.
See, and that's why I need you in the sexism survey because I do not
balance out the numbers.
I don't know if your answer would be super low for that. I'm not sure.
I'll see if I can find the sexism survey.
Okay.
On the Journal of Sex Research.
Is this too much?
Sex?
This idea, is this too much?
Have we gone too far?
Yeah, like, I'm being nice.
We're going way too far in a lot of categories,
okay,
Kevin,
in
our world right now.
Yeah. Yeah.
So this makes total sense where our world is headed.
And that's the C Block, ladies and gentlemen.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, it's
time.
Being
nice to your kids is ageism.
Oh, my God. It's time for the Tuesday tailgate. Seventh year seniors and Irish upset and Happy Gilmore next on The Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one. Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
44 yards away to do it. He got it. And a yellow jacket did it. Upset in hands. They found themselves a ton of gold at the end of their Irish rainbow.
KNC Masterpiece back here on 105.3 The Fan. It's time for the Tuesday tailgate. We got all kinds of stuff today. And of course, we bring in our college football expert, Carter Freeman.
What's up, guys?
Who has already destroyed one of the points I was going to bring up that's amazing.
Go ahead with the point then. I got a question after.
Spencer Petras, the quarterback for Utah State. He's in his seventh year of college football. Alan Bowman from Oklahoma State, also in his seventh year of college eligibility. And I was like, wow, that's amazing. Carter comes in and says,
There is a player at Miami, Cam McCormick. He is a ninth year senior this year. I know he began his career at Oregon, and like 9 years would be 2016, 2015, sometime around then. And I believe he's had three separate leg injuries plus the COVID year that he's redshirted all those years and has made it all the way to almost a decade in college football.
That is impressive.
Okay.
Van Wilder.
When somebody asks you, what do you do? He says school.
What is more amazing to you, Corey, this ninth year senior or Georgia offensive tackle Jazeer Jackson, who is 6'11" and weighs 350 pounds?
That's interesting.
Georgia's line, I think, has several ginormous human beings on it.
Unbelievable. And he was a former AAU basketball teammate of Bronny James.
Oh, really?
Fun.
So he's going to end up on the Lakers, too.
I guess I cannot rule that out.
Feels like that's what you're saying right now.
If LeBron wants it.
And then that's a good point. And then there's Monte Harrison from Arkansas. Are you familiar with this wide receiver, Carter?
I am not.
Oh, yes!
No. Actually, he's the former baseball player,
no!
isn't he?
Yes. That is correct. He is a 29-year-old incoming freshman. He was drafted in 2014 by the Milwaukee Brewers and played in the big leagues in parts of the 2020, 21, and 22 season. He was part of the trade that got Christian Yelich to Milwaukee from the Miami Marlins. And now he's a freshman in college football.
Did you say Alan Bowen?
Bowman.
Bowman? Somebody said he went
to
Grapevine.
Yeah, he's from here.
I thought he was, okay.
Could LeBron James play football if he wanted to in college?
Like right now?
Yeah. Like if he is like, I'm retiring from basketball. I've never gone to college. I'm going to wherever.
I mean, for years, he always talked about how he'd be a tight end, and that's where he'd probably want to play is Ohio State. The only position that regularly has 30-year-olds in it in college football are, like, punters that come from Australia.
I could see that.
Other positions, I don't know.
Dude, can you imagine LeBron rolling in to Ohio State, though, and being like, hey, coach, I appreciate it and everything, but I got this.
But what kind of NIL money would he demand to play at Ohio State?
He might make more than he could make in the NBA.
Dude, if I was Ohio State, I would want to make that happen.
He would make more there than he would in the NBA because there's no cap on his money.
Are you guys familiar with the word parody? Have you heard it before? Parity.
Parity?
Parity.
Maybe?
What?
Why are you asking?
I feel like parody is like when you're making fun of something.
Did you know that this would not take us 1 second to answer this?
I'm going to say yes. Very disappointed that it didn't. Look who I'm talking to. I gotcha. Let's go to cut number 7. This is Robert Turbin, who I'm not sure he knows what this word means.
Rich, I don't know if I've ever been more fired up for a college football season. All the changes, all the newness in college football, it feels like there's no parity. Anybody can win it this season.
Now, that is a confusing statement. There is no parity. Which means anybody can win it.
Or is there?
Ooh.
Now, he had everything going right up until the very end. He's like, I'm with him. Like, I feel like it's very wide open. But then, yes, misuse of the word.
Yeah, that is unfortunate. Now, normally, when we're like,
Did he correct himself at
like
some
when you're
point?
Kind of like a parrot, but not really.
Oh, my God. He's sort of like Jimmy Buffett, but not all the way. God, this is what you've done to me. All right. Normally, we don't get to do these like, oh, is he related to so-and-so? And you're like, no. But
he is.
Maryland tight end SMU tight end RJ Maryland, there we go, was part of the comeback because, Carter, correct me if I'm wrong, but it sure looked like SMU's season was about to get off to a catastrophic start.
I thought they were toast in the middle of the third quarter. I mean, you come in with all the hype. They're a 30-point favorite against a team that's 4-20 over the last two seasons, and they just look like dog water for most of that game. Preston Stone was hurt at the end of last year. There was some people were wondering if that maybe played into why he wasn't playing at times in the first half of this game. They played their backup quarterback, and apparently that was the plan all along, was to get both of them drives early in the game, but neither of them were particularly effective, and Nevada just, they looked like a team just reinvigorated. So I really thought they were toast, but any time in that second half that Preston Stone needed an outlet, RJ Maryland was there. He was a superstar for the last quarter and a half of that game.
RJ Maryland is the son of
Russell Maryland.
Russell Maryland,
who
is the former Dallas Cowboy.
Cousin of my fourth grade teacher, Miss Weatherall.
Is that right?
He came to our school. He came to Truett Elementary School, and Miss Weatherall was like, "This is my cousin Russell." And he was so nice. He was so cool to talk to.
And the Cowboys traded for the number one overall pick to get Rocket Ishmael, and then he went to the Canadian Football League, and then they took Russell Maryland.
That is true. I remember
won a couple Super Bowls after that.
And I remember when the draft started, I didn't totally understand all of that, and I was like, just pick Rocket Ishmael either way. And they're like, no, we're going to go with Russell Maryland. All right, I don't know if you guys saw this. I am amazed that the CBS Sports Network called this correctly during the Nevada-SMU game. They went to the camera in the wrong end zone for a field goal. So it was a 52-yard kick, and I get it. You're up almost in the middle of the field. Maybe you might get a little confused, but they took the view from the opposing goalposts, and then they even backed the camera out.
Like
as
a
if,
panic back
yeah,
out.
Yeah, as if... That could be a panic backup, but it almost also felt like they're like, here comes the football. Oh, no. I was impressed that the CBS Sports Network crew still got the call correct because they're like, the hell's our camera person?
They were watching what was happening on the field.
For sure.
Yeah, I mean, you could barely tell watching on TV because I saw that live. And I have always held to the belief that the CBS Sports Network's quality of their broadcast is just not that of what you would get on ESPN. Because if you're talking 50-yard field goals, you saw two of those in the first half for Florida True. State in their game in Dublin against Georgia Tech. But yeah, as that was going on, I'm like, well, you know, I guess they're going to tell me if he made it or not. And he did.
Like, Kevin, I guess the big factor here is even CBS is still in the preseason. So
yes, I could
it was
definitely.
Week zero. It was mm-hmm. a warm-up week.
Yeah, that's a warm-up
but
week,
now
Kevin.
We're to week one.
Everything better be on point now.
Okay, if you're Florida State, I mean, obviously with the 12-team playoff, you can absorb a loss, probably absorb two losses, but what does this say for their season going forward?
It says that their plan, they're a lot like Colorado does it the most popularly with the transfers. Florida Yes. State did the same thing last year, and it worked really, really well. Quarterback was a transfer. Running back was a transfer. Best two receivers were transfers. They were all over the roster. They go undefeated in the regular season. It's great. They try and do the same thing again this offseason. They bring in DJU as their quarterback, a bunch of other players all across the roster. I believe they got 17 transfers that are playing major minutes or going to for this team. And the first results are really not as impressive as they were last year. They ran pretty well in their first drive, scored pretty easily. After that, it was a struggle. They kept having DJU throw to the sidelines, which I don't know why. He would throw it 5 yards outside of the paint every time. And then at the end of the game, when they had him throw the ball over the middle, it worked really well. They ended up tying the game. But I think you both have to look at the quality of transfers that Florida State got are not going to be what they were last year. But also, there were definitely some questionable coaching decisions with those players that I think they could do better going forward.
Which team, Corey, which team do you think gives the most vulnerability to Vegas? That if they were to win the national championship, Vegas is like, oh, crap.
UNT.
That'd be a pretty big one.
I'm so sorry, Corey.
I bet the odds are insane.
I would agree with that.
You bet $1,000, I bet you win $1,000,000.
Actually, I think that could be factually accurate.
All right. Time to put it down.
Would you like to bet?
You're welcome.
I will stake that bet if you would like to bet $1,000 on UNT to win the football
I will take
national
your money.
Championship. It's actually number one.
Doing the indecent proposal.
It is actually Ohio State number one, but number two, the most vulnerable team on the board.
Go Mean Green.
The Colorado Buffaloes.
Makes sense, man. They're a popular team to bet on.
They are. They are also over-under is to win 5.5 games this year.
Yeah.
Do we think take the over or under, and would you make that bet on Colorado at 200-1 to win the national championship?
Oh, they open the season with North Dakota State. That's not a layup.
It's not.
According to him.
Pretty good litmus test for Colorado this season. And then the very next week, they go to Nebraska, a team that everyone thinks is going to be a lot better this year. So.
And then you saw the Colorado State game last year.
Which
that was
nuts.
Chaos.
It was so much fun. That kept everyone up until like 3 a.m. because it went to double overtime.
So much fun.
So I am buying over 5.5. If they beat, we talked about this on Bet Nation, the show I do over the weekends. About
Pluggy plug.
Except it's over. There's no more of them left. But go listen to the podcast.
You got canceled?
We switched the programming during the football season. We're not important enough. But the North Dakota State game, we'll show you a lot about Colorado. I think it's that second game against Nebraska that'll really tell me if this team's for real or not. They'll be on the road. They'll be going up against a defense that was kept Nebraska in a lot of games that they ended up losing last year because their offense was so bad. But if they can go on the road and beat a team in a hostile environment that has a very good defense, I'm totally buying in on the over on that 5.5.
By the way, this isn't directly related to college football, but Mike, people have brought this up multiple times now. When you said and stopped and then pivoted to Jake's mom, people are now concerned about the status of your marriage. No. So can you tell them you're good?
No, yeah, we're good. I was just saying we're good.
There's been a shocking amount of comments
you said
about,
I think, I don't know.
I don't. When I get home today, we'll find out.
Every day is a new day.
Things can change.
Oh my goodness.
He is right about that.
Got to have a 1-0 mentality every day, you know?
I was just thinking about how Deion Sanders and his son have really disrespected the state of Colorado as they're doing Kentucky commercials.
Kentucky Fried Chicken commercials? Huh. Yeah, I've noticed that too.
Is there no Colorado Fried Chicken?
I don't think so.
I don't know.
I want, dude. Truly? Doesn't it feel like, though, that it would be better because it's from Colorado fried chicken? I don't know why. I just feel like something, if it's like the Colorado omelet, amazing. The Denver omelet's fantastic.
Do they need a Denver and a Colorado?
I don't know. I think omelet? I made that up, Kevin.
Right, I'm pretty sure there's somebody here that doesn't know the difference.
Okay. Yeah. Yes, that would be me. All right. I know it's early, but what would we think about UConn going to the Big 12? And my follow-up question to that is, if you gave a quiz to like people who like sports and college sports,
I have no clue.
How well would people be able to navigate what conference teams are in right now?
Right now, it would be pretty testy, I think, just given that I think 13 schools changed affiliation at the power level this last cycle. So as far as UConn goes, this goes into Brett Yormark, the commissioner of the Big 12, wanting to spin off the basketball rights to their own thing, which I don't get. I think if you spin them off into their own thing, you're not going to get as much money as you want. And then the value of your overall conference deal, which comes up in, I believe, 2031. So it's a ways away, but like that's going to be less too. Like the reason they're together is because they bring value to each other.
Yeah.
And plus, right now, UConn's defending back-to-back national champions. I get that. They'll probably be pretty good so long as Hurley is there as their head coach in basketball. The football is totally whatever. They wouldn't even join until, I believe, like 8 years from now. When Cincinnati, Houston, and UCF joined the Big 12, they were really good where they previously were. When they came in last year, they stunk. And even those couple years before they were coming in, they stunk too. So right now, it looks great to add UConn because they're great right now. But we saw in 2014, they won a national championship, totally fell off for another like 6 years after that. So that's the thing I never get is like, yes, you look at this now and it looks really, really good, but it just seems like it could be something that it's not going to add as much value later down the line as you would want.
I mean, based on everything he just said, it sounds like there's no parity and anybody could win this thing.
What is
Robert Turbin's gospel?
What is the game of the week for you? Game of the weekend for week one?
It's definitely Notre Dame and Texas A&M. I think that's going to be the biggest. It's just as far as the two teams, it could be something going forward. Having both of them in the same game, I think that's going to be huge at night in College Station. That's going to be awesome.
Clemson, Georgia, do anything?
Not for me. I'm not buying Clemson.
Like Dabo.
Not even that. I just don't think the way that he like goes about things now is conducive to modern success in college football.
Did you see he's no longer taking live calls on his radio show?
Because of Tyler from Spartanburg.
Yes, who went on this crazy rant and he referenced Proverbs while he was talking about why Dabo shouldn't get paid. And Dabo was like, you know what? You're what's wrong with sports.
You're a proverb.
Yeah. Okay. Not exactly that. Do you think Texas A&M is going to win?
I don't. I think Notre Dame's going to win. Notre Dame's offensive line is their biggest question mark, but I do still like what Notre Dame has a little more than A&M.
This might be a question for another day.
Plus, your favorite quarterback's Joe Montana.
Irish would beat Aggies anytime.
Oh, my gosh.
Right? The mascot battle?
Our dog's really nice. I'm not gonna... Our dog's really nice.
Could you have like Sarge come in?
Yes.
Your spot?
Actually, maybe if I can change
A&M
it up like this.
A&M would win in a game of fetch.
They might just poop on the field.
All right.
That dog doesn't poop.
You know what? I was going to ask you if you think
that dog doesn't poop.
I mean,
all dogs.
It kind of feels skill like to have. That. Do you think that McNeese State's kicker was thrown off by Happy Gilmore images being in the background when he was trying to tie the game against Tarleton State?
I do think so. I think it is a factor. Bill Belichick used to do this.
Happy Gilmore?
In New England. Oh. He would ask for a shot of the goalposts to be on the board behind the goalposts.
Oh, that's a good idea.
But just slightly askew. So you couldn't really, if you kind of just were looking up, you would be like, where are the goal? You see two sets of goalposts up there.
Because I've seen like TCU throw up the hypno toad behind the field goals, or I've seen like that gopher, that meme like pop up behind, like stuff like that. But that's, I wouldn't expect Happy Gilmore to be up there.
Bye-bye.
Always appreciate the insight, good sir.
Thank you, guys.
Carter Freeman right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, let's chit-chat with those fellas from the G-Bag Nation to get the latest on the NFL. Cuts next right here on The Fan. KNC Masterpiece back here on 105.3 The Fan right now, courtesy of D&M Leasing. It is time for our chit-chat with those fellas from the G-Bag Nation. Gentlemen, How is you today?
Amazing, Heggie. How can you be anything else when the trumpets play?
I love it, love it, love it. Now, I know we're going to dive into some cut stuff, but I wanted to ask y'all, is there any particular player or players that you think have upped their stock the most throughout training camp and the preseason games?
Julius Wood.
Yes,
Julius Wood. Julius Wood is going to make your 53-man roster.
Ooh. And it feels like he deserves it.
Yeah,
at this point,
he's and what's going to happen is, and this is what we talked about yesterday in Krusty's Corner at 3:40, when we were breaking it down, that that you're going to have to figure out something, because of the running backs you're likely going to carry are not going to play special teams for you. So you're going to probably have to carry an extra safety or maybe an extra linebacker to make up for these guys, because you're going to dress three running backs likely that aren't going to play special teams. So you have to make up for that some way. So Julius Wood appears to be a guy that's going to make their 53-man roster, and hopefully he'll be able to do that.
Feels like that would make your special teams better, too. Like, you actually have a defensive player that's going down to make a bunch of tackles or whatever. That seems much easier than having a running back. Oh, because you can block and personal protect, now you got to go be a running back and tackle. That's not even your forte. So that makes a ton of sense.
I
think Jalen Tolbert is that was a huge wonder of, like, do you have anything in this guy? And I think he, to this point, he's giving every indication that he will be a legit number three wide receiver.
My concern about Tolbert is I feel like I kind of saw this last year, and I'm worried about getting burned off of what that actually means in terms of on-field production. But you're right. He has looked good in camp for sure.
I'll go with the first two picks. You know, there's an element of the unknown, and you need those guys to be great, especially after the disaster of last year's draft class.
Yeah.
So, you know, getting good reports and demonstrations from Nealon and Guyton, I think on the edge, you know, there's nothing bigger that could have happened for your football team than get a positive momentum there.
Got to be super encouraging that goes down the line, right? When then you're like, and then BB and Leofau and Carson.
Yes.
Like, feel like early returns look really promising. Hopefully that carries over.
The only thing is you're having to really depend on every one of those guys,
which is not great, but
you're putting a lot on them. But they've all met or exceeded expectations to this point, so you're feeling great.
And we really shouldn't be surprised, considering maybe the best GM in football, you know, is in charge of this thing.
I've heard maybe. nobody else can do it
the way that he effing does it.
I wonder if Will McClay was happy about that statement.
No.
And I'll say it in this way.
Yeah.
I think Will McClay is closer to probably going off and doing something else than he is staying around here.
Oh.
And maybe it's not that. You know, his son is getting older and they were hanging around because of that, and good for him being a dad that way. But now it makes you wonder a little bit with Jerry saying that you know what, hey, okay, I see where this thing is going. Even Will, he's done a great job for the Cowboys. He really has. I mean, he's made Jerry a better general manager. I know our group didn't make Jerry a better general manager, but Will has. And so now if you're Will McClay, you know, the thought is, if I get an opportunity, am I going to turn it down like I have before? And I don't know if he'll do that anymore. That's something you need to kind of keep an eye on.
I know it's a totally different situation, but is it the same way we feel about Dak, where now maybe he's getting closer and closer
I think there's two guys that are kind of like in that mode of, like, if we go on to somewhere else, we'll be fine.
Yeah.
Mike McCarthy being one of them. I think Dak Prescott are to that point where if it doesn't work out here, hey, I appreciate you allowing me to resuscitate. God, I can't talk today.
That was a huge word, though.
Resuscitate.
You put a lot of pressure
on
yourself with that word.
And then, you know, he was able to, you know, to come back and to coach and show that he can win games. You know, I think that, you know, with the way that they're hiring coaches nowadays with guys with little or no experience, at least if you want to go and hire an established guy, he would probably be. So I think he's okay. And I think Dak's at that mode too, that whatever happens, happens. I don't think he's married to this place anymore.
Anything from today thus far, whether it's Harvey, Hendershot, Ball, whoever, that has surprised you on the cut front?
Not really.
Yeah.
No. I on my 53, I had Ball. That means that they liked Willetsko better than Ball. So I think they're going to keep 9 offensive linemen. So I thought that Ball had a better camp than Willetsko. They don't see it that way.
Do you think it's because they feel like they have a couple other guys? Because Ball was a better guard.
Ball could play guard and he could play tackle. I mean, he's just become a better guard.
Yeah.
Then, and you know, if you look at it, well, Letzko was a better player last year, but Letzko played, I think things turned for Letzko in the Raider game when he was having to go up against the Raider starters. He was, it wasn't pretty, but he held his own.
Okay.
And I think people kind of got encouraged by that.
Right. I'm not saying this is a Cowboys only problem by any means, but when we get down to these cuts, do you look at the players that stay or the look at the players that make the practice squad? And you're like, you don't have to pick all your own guys. Like,
I hate that. I hate when they bring back all their own guys. I always hated that. And if I had to do it, if I was running a team, I know that my guys that I'm cutting probably can't play. So now I'm thinking like, okay, let me look at the other team's rosters. Are there guys? There's some guys you want to bring back, of course, but you have 16 opportunities. If I could get six guys from other teams to come and be part of my practice squad, I think I've gotten better that way. I know my 16 probably can't play all of them. They'll probably be career, you know, or at least for this year, there'll be guys that are on my practice squad and I don't do anything with them. Give me the opportunity to look at some different guys and kind of work my practice squad that way.
Since we were talking about running backs a little bit earlier, general thoughts about Dalvin Cook? I know it's workout, but how do we feel?
Yeah. Well, I mean, he's 29 years old and was really bad last year.
Pettis.
Yeah, he's not as the only thing he has over Zeke right now is he's got a little bit more quickness. That's
okay.
It. That's it. It when you look at both players, and I did this morning, I watched him play with the Jets and I watched him play with the Ravens. There's a clip where you show like a big run that he had, and he's kind of it is what it is blocking wise. He's not going to make anybody miss anymore. He's not going to be able to get to the edge anymore. He's not going to be able to turn the corner anymore. He doesn't break tackles like he once did. So, yeah, this to me is a – we used to have a thing with Bill Parcells. It was called Tidewater. Mike, you'll appreciate this. Tidewater was the minor league team, you know. So we always – Bill always called our emergency board Tidewater. And I think this is a Tidewater move to potentially look at him. Maybe they put him on the practice squad, but he's not any better than Zeke other than being a little quicker.
You generally want to go younger at this particular position. And they're clearly not doing that.
No, they are not. But your 2018 Pro Bowl team is going to be badass.
Was Parcells a Mets fan? Yeah, he was. He was kind of like when he always told me, he goes, "Hey, how's our Tidewater team looking?" And I would go, "Tidewater." And he'd go, "Yeah, the Tidewater team, the emergency board." And I'm like, oh, okay, yeah, I call it an emergency board, but yeah, I understand Tidewater, great. So then, you know, he would. So that was the nickname we gave. But that's kind of the vibe I'm getting about this particular player.
And he'd always say Tidewater with his leg propped up, naked, talking to Broadus. No.
Hey, dude, like the Captain Morgan pose.
Which leg?
No.
Either one. Maybe both.
What do you guys got coming up on the program today?
Pure Gold as always. Heggie, thanks so much for asking. The man with the best name in football, Mike Sando, is going to join us at 4 o'clock. He'll make you hungry and fill you up with football knowledge all in one. He has his quarterback tears out, right?
Yes, he does. Okay. Tearing them up, talking to execs and coaches and whatnot.
Roll home with the G-Vag Nation. Try to get the horrific imagery out of your mind. We've been K&C. We'll be back tomorrow, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. right here on 105.3 The Fan.
Say goodnight, Kevin.
Goodnight, Kevin.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Nor Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. nor taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.